Thanks ever so much for joining us again, and welcome to this week's Tech Law 10. I'm Jonathan Armstrong. I'm speaking to you today from a sunny but prone to heavy thunderstormy London. And Eric, you're in San Fran today.
I'm in San Fran. We had those storms yesterday, and now it's just clouds.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to this because this is definitely my favorite case of the week, and probably my favorite technology case of the year so far, this Google litigation out in Utah. Eric, why don't you tell us about it?
Well, as my 80-year-old mother says, if you live long enough, you see everything. And now we've seen one of those cases. The plaintiff in this particular case was struck by a car as she was walking across a street in a country area. And she alleged in a complaint against Google that she was crossing the street at the instruction of the walking directions she received from Google Maps. So she then filed a lawsuit not only against the operator of the car that hit her, but she also sued Google, alleging various things, but most particularly that Google was negligent in terms of what it provided her on the Google Maps by not warning her that if she followed these directions, it is possible she might get actually hit by a car. What do you make of that, Jonathan?
I love it. I mean, is she alleging that the duty of Google is maybe to use some really large satellite and track the cars live? I mean, we have Formula One motor racing in Europe. I know you get it in US back again next year. They have this thing called the driver tracker so that you can see every car live time, where it is on the track. Should this be operating in Utah? Is that what she wants?
I'm not sure she said that so articulately or specifically. I think her point was that Google should have just been more clear and more complete in its instructions, like, for example, telling her there wasn't a sidewalk and that cars there could be going at a fast rate of speed. Of course, Google's response is, look, we're just giving you directions. You know, you still have a responsibility to show up and use your own eyes and ears and look around and pay attention and use your own safety or take care of your own safety as a pedestrian. Does that sound reasonable to you, Jonathan?
Absolutely, it does. I mean, I was interested that the judge was saying, in addition, that even if Google did have a responsibility to her, they're entitled to assume that you don't just walk along the street looking at your BlackBerry. You occasionally look up and, you know, look at where you're going. I'm not sure that's an assumption that necessarily works in London, because you see many people walking along the street glued to their BlackBerry. But I think the judge must be right, mustn't he, in that you do have a duty of care to occasionally look up from your BlackBerry or iPhone?
Yes, I think this is actually, pardon the pun, a heads up for everybody. Just because you have these devices and you can look at them and you can get directions, you still are in the real world. And if you keep head down and you're buried in your own, you know, handheld device and you're not paying attention, well, you know, a pox on your house. It's your own fault, really. I mean, one thing she was also alleging was that there was some sort of special relationship or special duty between her and Google because she entered in specific directions she wanted and they were custom made and then given to her. So therefore, you know, there was a heightened duty on the part of Google, allegedly, and it was foreseeable in this context you could be hit by a car, so Google's responsible. And the judge here found, and basically the judge dismissed her complaint. I hope we've been clear about that, but, you know, she did not win.
Yeah.
Google did. And the judge said, well, just because you can get customized search results, still this is just a general service being provided to everyone with sort of generally public information. And there's no special duty between you and Google based on these particular results.
Yeah, and you say that Google won, Eric, but the way that your system works there, we're coming up to 4th July, so we might just point out another failing of the U.S. In not adopting the rules from the U.K. But Google will still end up paying its own costs, won't they?
You talk about July 4th. Well, we did free ourselves from British sovereignty, so we were the victor there. Anyway, we're not doing so well at Wimbledon right now, though. I think we have one lone tennis player there, so there you go. Yes, I mean, our system has diverged from yours, and we might have touched on this in the past, but normally each side will pay their own attorney's fees in a lawsuit. Even if Google wins this lawsuit, the normal rule would be it has to pay its own attorneys, unless there's fee shifting by way of statute, if there's a particular statute that gives attorney's fees, or there's a contract that would enable the prevailing party to prevail. And I don't know in this particular case whether there was a fee shifting mechanism in place, but you know, normally even if you're sued and you win, you have to pay your own attorney's fees. Now, if the court determines that a case is absolutely meritless and baseless and essentially is frivolous, if you like all these adjectives, then it's possible after winning a case, the winning party can go after the plaintiff and allege malicious prosecution and get the attorney's fees as damages that way. But probably in this case, I mean, Google's a big enough beast. They probably dispensed with this case with relatively little legal effort and most likely wanted to make good law out of good facts for Google and make an example of this plaintiff so these types of lawsuits wouldn't be filed further. So I doubt that Google's getting its attorney's fees here, but one doesn't know for sure.
Yeah, and I guess the upshot of the story is looking at Google now. If I ask for walking directions around Old London Town, it says that I must use caution. This route may be missing sidewalks or pedestrian paths. So at least maybe this litigation has had some minor success in just reminding us to look where we're walking. That's that case. I've enjoyed discussing it. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Jonathan Armstrong. My email address is jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. And Eric?
And this is Eric Sinrod. I'm ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. You can find us perpetually and continually on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Please continue to send in ideas for our future podcasts, and we will be back at you shortly. So thanks for joining.
Thank you.